Matthew's Gospel 28. We are looking at knowing and following the leading of the Spirit. And somehow this series will also flow in that pattern. Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18. And he says unto them, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And what there is to make a student, to train, to teach, with the intent to educate. And so, you know, as a pastor, for example, and then don't assume people know things. Don't make an assumption. You mustn't assume that, for example, people know how to pray. You must teach them how to pray. If you disciple people for the Lord, you must. Don't assume the person knows it. You must teach how to pray. Also teach people how to give and what it means to give. Hallelujah. The faith of Christ is such that everything should be explained. Everything should be taught. And the believer should be trained in not just the knowledge of the faith, but the practice of the faith. Hallelujah. Because discipleship is, I teach you, then I also train you to do what I'm teaching you. That's why Jesus will teach. Then he will ask his disciples to do exactly what he was doing. He took them to pray. He asked them to cast out demons, to preach the gospel. Exactly what he was doing. So discipleship is to teach people, all right, and then to show them by practice that they also practice it. That's discipleship. For example, if you're discipling someone that's a believer, you take them to pray, for example. You take this. Jesus did that. He took them to pray. Don't just say, pray. Read your Bible, pray every day. So we're going to pray tomorrow. Then just like you nurse a child and you train someone in any discipline, you teach the person how to pray. And obviously that's what he meant here by make disciples of every nation. Now, obviously, another thing is that a good number of things that Jesus must have taught in the first four Gospels, they were post-resurrection realities, things he said. We'll look at a few of them as we look at the leading of the Spirit in this instance. Now look at John's Gospel, for example, John 1:1. You know, John captured from chapter 13 to about chapter 17. He gave us more information about the things Jesus said before he died. He had less, almost no information about Jesus as a child, as a young man. He began straight away from John's baptism. After his own interpretation from verse 1, John's Gospel, chapter 1, till 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. If you read down, just read about John the Baptist, then you read about Jesus straight away, the first chapter. Mark was similar to that, no doubt. But Mark gave a record. John gave an interpretation. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What's John doing? John is saying to us that the Old Testament prophecies has been fulfilled in the incarnation. That's what he meant by the Word, Logos. That's the Logos in the prophets. And this Logos now became flesh. That is, the things the prophet were saying for thousands of years, it now became immaterialized in the incarnation of Christ. That's what he meant by really was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at verse 14, which is my point, where we're going. Okay, verse 2, all things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. In him was light. The life was the light of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light and light. Then in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh. So if you looked at Jesus in the four Gospels, you can say, this is God's plan and purpose for humanity. It is not an addition, it is the fulfillment. That is the sum total of all that God desired in humanity is found in Christ. That's why people always say he's the explanation of all things. You know, John 1:18 says no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten which is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And he uses the word exegomai, which means to share your experience. So Jesus is God's experience. He is the Father of experience. I call him the Father manifest. He is the Father manifest. He explains God to us. He's the exegomai. John says he's in the bosom of the Father. And John used an idiom. Bosom is often used for an inseparable union, the kolpos, K-O-L-P-O-S. It's an idiom. Because usually the word bosom is used for breast pocket. Right? You can't say he's in the breast pocket of the Father. So you now say it's an idiom. For example, when I say, if you are, they say it in Yoruba, but then I think in colloquial English, your cup is full. Then you go and look for your cup. You know, they're only saying that you're in trouble. You understand? So when you say in the bosom of the Father, don't go look for the breast pocket. It simply means the inseparable. He is in the heart of the Father, the inseparable. John 1:18. And so, he therefore will express the Father in his use of pronouns and in the things he will say. Our last, the other time, that's the week before the last, we were in John's Gospel chapter 10, where he announces himself by pronouns. Having known that he is the explanation of God, John's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 4. But before then, he gives the illustration of the shepherd and the sheep. Then he says in verse 4, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. So he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. One fundamental fact about a believer, now, hear this well, is that he has the Spirit of God and he has the ability to know when God is talking. When God is speaking, he has that ability. He will not pray to have that ability. Now, he can ignore it, right? He may be ignorant of it, but it's not an absence of that ability. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why sometimes when you find out that people are arguing over truth of God's word, pray for them. The born-again human spirit recognizes the truth. And I'll tell you something. There is no mistake you have ever made that you never have a premonition about by the Spirit of God. There's none. Because you are born of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says he goes before the sheep. A born of God. And you don't beat yourself, because sometimes you're just learning it. You're learning it. Now look at verse 7. I am the door for the sheep. All that ever came before me, Jesus said, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. And that's what led to verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and be abundant. He's not talking about any other thing but salvation. The grace of salvation is what he brings to mind. Now I want us to observe something he says, and he repeats, in verse 4, they know his voice. See the sheep? Survey the sheep? Know the voice of the shepherd. Now in 16, he repeats it. They shall hear my voice. And so the word there is the word phone. P-H-O-N-E. It's used not just for sound. You know, there's a way you sound. There's a way you sound. And when you talk. There's also a way you smell. Amen. Well, you kept quiet on that, right? But there's a way you sound. There are those, you give them the microphone to preach, and they want to sing before they preach. And you are in the spirit worshiping God. As they sing, you open your eyes. It's a distraction. We're singing a song like, and they now try the ill song. Like, what's the song again? The one you love, anyone. You are the word of the beginning. Yeah, get it, man. You are the word of the beginning. That's a cappella. You know. So that's not what he's saying. Some guys have a boss. In a boarding house, there's a senior's boss, authoritative boss. One boy, everybody says, yes, please. So that the mild one. Then the ones that graduate to a higher level say, one go! You don't say, I'm not a go. You find out that day that you were one. Yes and no. And then those who go higher will say, one bastard! And that goes home. You still have to respond. Yes, please. That's a voice. You know? But that's not what he's talking about. The word phony here is used for a dialect. They know his language. They know his language. A language. Praise the Lord. That a language. A dialect. That you can interpret. They know his voice. Let me say this to you. As you grow older, particularly you get involved in the work of ministry, you will need to be much more precise about God's leading. The leading of God is not an event of our lives. It's part and parcel of a Christian life. We shared a bit of that last week. So you must always seek to recognize it. Praise the Lord. So he says, you know that voice, you know that language, you know that dialect. So I know the voice of the good shepherd. Praise the Lord. And so this is what he meant. Go back to verse 9. Verse 9 says, I down the door by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. Go in and out and find pasture. Then he now says, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Now, of course, what he meant, the abundance of 10 is a pasture of verse 9. Not cars and houses, okay? The pasture, that is, there's abundance of that. He uses the word perisos, P-R-I-S-S-O-S, which is an adjective, really, or an adverb, depends on how it's used. So he's saying there, what I'm giving is abundant, or it will make you abundant. Hallelujah. Say, I have abundance of pasture. Okay, that's what it is. You have abundance of it. Now, he said this for the resurrection. Because if you notice, it now says, I give my life for the sheep. I lay down my life. So, in other words, just like many things he said, this is not available yet. Even though it's possible by faith, but it's not available. They know my voice. My sheep know my voice. This is referring to the resurrection. I give my life, that sacrifice. I give my life, that sacrifice. In other words, that is, direction is in the new creation. And that direction is not weird, it's not mysterious. You can explain it. That's why he said they know my voice. It has its own dialect. Praise the Lord. It has its own dialect, it has its own language. Okay? So he says that they may have it and be abundant. So, let's get back again to what he said. He said, I give my life. That's verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What life? His life in the resurrection. So it means that Jesus is now reproduced in us. I give my life. Verse 11. Look at it again. Verse 11. I give or gives his life for the sheep. Verse 15. The Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for who? For the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. And this is all in the resurrection. So this will be available in his resurrection. So when he says, make disciples of every nation, teaching them, this is what you teach them. This is part of what you teach. Look at John's Gospel 8 and 12. John's Gospel 8 and 12, just two chapters before. He says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Say, I have the light of life. You know, it's good to say this often. I have the light of life. I know the voice of the good shepherd. The voice of the stranger, I don't follow. Very good. So, you must say that often where you seem confused in the natural. You must train yourself not to utter your inabilities, rather utter God's ability. Train yourself to utter God's ability. he means. So you say it. Now, no doubt, John 10, the context of John 10 is the context of salvation. We're going to expand it shortly. It's salvation is referring to. I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. And how do you know you do know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Let me tell you. Because you are born again. If you never knew the voice, you would have been saved. You recognize that voice in the gospel. So you are not saying a make-believe. You are affirming the realities of your faith by saying, I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. Why are you saying that? Because you are a sheep in his pasture. You are a sheep of his flock. So you say, I know his voice. In Romans chapter 8, verse 8, Paul says, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. But you are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That explains what we just read now in John 10. If any has the Spirit of Christ, none of us. If Christ be in you, verse 10, since the body is dead to sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall put in your own mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So said, brethren, we are debtors not to live after the flesh. By the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the body. If we live after the flesh, we will die, but if by the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. Romans 8, 12 and 13. For as many as are led. Now when you hear led by the Spirit, that's salvation. Now we've been doing studies for some weeks now, and you know that led is Exodus. The led from the flesh to the Spirit, from bondage to deliverance, from sin to the righteousness of God. So you are led by the Spirit of God, or you have been led by the Spirit of God, is the same thing. So you are the sons of God. Remember? So he says, for we have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. For we are the children of God. So we have received not fear, but a spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then he says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. In other words, what we say. Now when it says cry, Abba, Father, it's just another idiom. It doesn't mean that you say, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. It just shows relationship. That we are there to God, our Father. He says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Praise the Lord. And he uses the word some material in the Greek, which means that two things saying the same thing, two things as one. So we're in a union with God. See, I'm in a union with God in Christ Jesus. Always say that, alright? If I'm in union with God, it is in Christ Jesus. I'm very close to Christian Science. I'm in union with God. See, I'm in union with God in Christ Jesus. I'm in union with God in Christ Jesus. It's a realm of knowledge. Absolute knowledge. I know the Father. I know His will. I know His purpose. I know His plan. And I walk in it. I am in union with Christ. I'm in union with God in Christ. I have absolute light. Absolute direction. There are no shadows in this realm of life. Glory to God. You must state that categorically. The gospel is preached by us to be unsaved, is led by us, and the gospel is also spoken by us. The facts of the gospel must form how we talk. You mustn't just be found preaching the gospel to people, you must also say the gospel to yourself. The good news is, I have the good shepherd's voice. I hear his voice. Praise God. I know his voice. I know his voice. You know, knowing his voice is the gospel preached unto you and you are born again. So you know his voice. You know that dialect of the gospel. Hallelujah. See, I don't walk in darkness. Amen. So therefore, when it says, I am the light of this world, that's again in the resurrection. I am the bread of life. All those words are framed for the resurrection. So go to John 14. These realities are available to us now. They are available to us now. That's why we don't do fleeces. You know a fleece? A fleece is to throw things by chance. And some people say, but in Acts of the apostles cast a lot. No, they weren't throwing the dice. I think I've explained that to us before. They have to do it again. They weren't trying to say, if it kicks this, is that. That's not what they're trying. It's just a translation issue. That's, they were not trying to check the lock of Matthias and the other guy. No, that's not what they were doing. As a believer, you don't say, if it works, then I'll do it. That's a state of confusion. You know, well, if I go out in the morning and whoever meets me, I remember there was a guy there in school, well, I wasn't in my school directly, but he said he just prayed. And then he said to himself that the first person who will offer him, no, I mixed it up. It was a lady who said, the Lord, that she, the person who comes to our room to do so, so and so. And everything was really very smooth. If I remember very well, our hall was H, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, yes, seven, I'm right, seven, H, seven. She was the seventh member of the room. The guy came at 7 o'clock. No, I'm not joking, no. And everything just made sense. And that's how they got into a relationship. There's no more today. So it was based on numbers. They were astrologers. There are still believers today who say they check the horoscope. Why not go directly to Abalis? And is that when you have a conversation? Praise the Lord. You know the voice of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because you're born again. Amen. You're born again. If you could get born again, then that means you know his voice. That fellow who spoke to you and shared the gospel to you, I hope you didn't get born again like one guy in Lagos who said he was from his mother's womb. Kind of find that interesting. That's an incarnation. That guy who spoke the gospel to you, and then your heart welcomed the truth he said, that's God's voice. That's God's voice. And the voice you listen to that convinced you about Jesus now lives in you. Are you still there? That voice that convinced you and you said yes to the gospel, that voice is not once and for all. That voice now abides in you. So, to say you've never heard God before is not true. If you have believed the gospel, that means you've heard it. Say it again, I know his voice. I know how he talks. Praise the Lord. If I know the gospel, then I know his voice. Because the voice that led me from darkness to light is the voice that leads me in the light. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and I remember I was saying this about talks yesterday. We were having fellowship last year, and we said most of the problem we have in Africa, some of the problems, sorry, is the fact that we have environmental theology. That is, we're used to seeing things done superficially and spectacularly, but yet it doesn't always happen like that. I must understand the simplicity of how the Father leads me. In a very simple way. In John's Gospel 14, verse 2 and 3, Jesus talked about where he is, there will be also. He talks about the Father's house, the Father's oikia. And then he says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Allows Paracletos that he may abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. Say the Father abides in me forever. So that means that, look at 20. In that day, John 14, you will know I am in the Father, and I am in you, and you are in me. So where is the Good Shepherd? Where is the Good Shepherd? That means we don't go to a mountain to hear the Good Shepherd. We don't go into a temple to hear the Good Shepherd. We don't come to church to hear the Good Shepherd. We have one more. We don't open the Bible to hear the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is in you. He lives in you. Hallelujah. So everything he says in John 8:12 and John 10, they are now realities in you. Hallelujah. They are realities in you. Everything he says, since they are post-resurrection realities, they are now realities in you. So the indwelling of Christ, the indwelling of the Spirit, fulfills everything Christ said about direction. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now go back to John 10. Remember we said, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, has a dialect, a language. In John 10, verse 9 again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Anybody like that here? Very good. I shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall go in and out. And he uses the word esekumai, which is, pay attention now. Esekumai is an experience we've never had before. So the going in is not like you are going in, you are coming out, and then you are in Christ today, and then I'm in Christ. So I'm going to the market, Christ. So I go out. No. The going there is a second mind that is your first experience of Christ, which is salvation. Now when it says go out, it doesn't mean you left Christ. It's again the word exakomai. E-X-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. E-X-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. It's used for walk. So you will go in and then start to walk. You will walk in Christ. Now I have spiritual growth. Marry me. You walk in the Good Shepherd. You go in and then you will walk. You walk in the Good Shepherd. Let me say is you find pasture. But let's be able to understand what he means. The word pasture there is the word nome, N-O-M-E. It's used for, pay attention, let's say 2 Timothy 2:17, something that's similar to it. And the word would be brother canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. The word canker there is something that's spreading. So when he says you will go in and find pasture, it's an ongoing instruction of what to do. You go in and find what to do. And it uses the word herisko in the Greek, H-U-R-I-S-K-O, which means to discover. Shall I discover? Shall I discover? What to do is already in Christ. So I discover it. In other words, I don't get it afterwards, I just discover it. You discover it. What to do. Now, let's take it again. What did he give us? His life. Where is the pasture? In his life. Where is the door? Come on. Where is the life? He doesn't point us to life. He doesn't point us to life. He doesn't point us to pasture. They are all where? In him. Then he says. In other words, the life of Christ is what we do. The life of Christ is the voice of Christ. The life of Jesus and the voice of Jesus, they are one and the same. So his life is what we have to do. What it means, as we'll see so shortly, is that the leading of God or the leading of the Spirit is a manifestation of Christ through us. That began from the gospel that we heard. So, in Matthew 28, he says, teaching them to observe all things, verse 20, so ever that I have commanded you, then he says, lo, I am with you. I am with you. In other words, he says to observe, which means that our eyes, spiritually speaking, will be on Christ. Our eyes, our attention, will be on Christ. Then we said the word terio and ora, remember? We said they are pictures and what? Words. So, pictures and words. Remember that? Can you remember that? Pictures and words. So, in the leading of the Spirit of God, we're going to have two means, what we hear and what we see. What we hear and also what we see. How is that possible? It's possible by the Spirit within us. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart, he says, also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. Amen. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an out of flesh. Now when you say out of your flesh there, it refers to that disobedient nature. Hallelujah. Say, I don't have a disobedient nature. Say, I will give you an out of flesh. That means I will give you a heart that responds to God without difficulty. When I told you earlier, I said, one of the proof of being born again is that you hear his voice. So I'll give you a heart that is a heart of flesh. You know, you are not stubborn. You are consistent. You are faithful. We are not stubborn. Amen. You don't insist on your own right or your own way. You know you are not. Because you are born of God. You know you don't always want to prove a point. No. You have a heart of flesh. Because he took away the stony heart out of your flesh. He gave me a heart of flesh. So, all my difficult personality was broken down. They were broken down by the gospel. I'm not opinionated. I'm not self-willed. I'm born of God. I'm Christ's sheep. I'm Christ's sheep. I'm Christ's sheep. So I am born of God. I'm not difficult. I have a heart of flesh. Amen. You understand that? You're not stubborn. No, you're not stubborn. No, you're not stubborn. You have a heart of flesh. Born of God. You're born of God. You're born of God. And you respond to God with ease. When you hear God's word, like this evening, you're not stubborn. You receive it. You know why? Because he took away the stony heart of your flesh. And he gave you what? A heart of flesh. You know, that heart of flesh is the life of Christ. That's what he laid down for us. Because in his incarnation, he proved obedience. And that same life he gave to us. So what he did in obeying the Father, I do in obeying the Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, sometimes, you know, in our families, they say, I know she'll go, It doesn't take nonsense. Say, well, now I do. Because love bears the faults of others. Love is tolerant. Say, I'm tolerant. Say it loud. Say, I'm tolerant. I'm not irritable. I don't get easily irritated. Praise God. I'm a new creature now. Praise God. I'm a new creature now. I'm a new creature now. I put on the image of God. I have the image of God. That's what I have now. So he took away the stony heart out of your flesh and gave you a heart of flesh. Amen. Because you know, that's why when you pray, you pray his will. Amen. Hallelujah. See that, amen? Look at the next verse. I will put my spirit, he says, within you. Say, he has put his spirit within me. Okay, now. And cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. So that now let's direct this to ourselves. Come on, can you read that 26 and 27 to yourself? Say, new heart. He gave me, and I have a new spirit. He put within me. He took away the stony heart out of my flesh. I have a heart of flesh. His spirit is within me. He makes me walk in his instructions, his judgments, and discernments. I do them. Praise God. You gonna say that, off? Gotta say that off. So that sometimes God is talking to you, and one brother is admonishing you. They are trying to prove a point. Why is she doing that? Just have this. Seen that before? This is. And you are arguing your way out of it. You know, sometimes you may be a good orator. Doesn't mean you're right. And you're arguing yourself, but somewhere, glory, you know, because the stony art of flesh have taken out of stony art have taken out of your flesh. So now you have a heart of flesh, and that heart of flesh now responds and goes, Even the guy you argued with me said, maybe you are right. You know in your heart you were wrong. Why was it like that? Because he took away the stony heart out of your flesh. Praise God. See, I know to respond to God. Check how quick you respond to God's Spirit and check how slow you have been. Now, if you found yourself slow, that means you've got some baggage and garbage on your mind. So deal with it. Check your response rate. How do you respond? So a brother comes to you, he says, well, and so the way, say, oh, no, that's not what happened. That's not, you're arguing it, but you've got this heart of flesh that makes you uncomfortable. Immediately that argument starts. You know what drives you? The guy said, oh, you said, don't say any further. I know what you're talking about. That's the Spirit of God. Amen? You don't go any further. But you discover, you argue 1 hour, you prove a point. Sometimes you can even call a friend. Say, come on, imagine, you know you're only building a case. You know, you can be right before men and wrong before God. You prove all that. Those who preach false doctrine are right before men. And they'll twist the Bible. They went, remember, a preacher came to another preacher and he said, can you explain manifestation of the sons of God to me? And then the preacher said, well, the manifestation of the sons of God has nothing to do with business or commerce or politics and all that. It's about the resurrection. And you know, the preacher said to him, said, you are the one that knows that one. The evil and great, they don't know. Let me use it the way I want to use it. And he went to the audience and wowed them. You know what happened? He knew he wasn't telling the truth. Okay? But he had to do what he wanted to do. He knew. Because if he didn't know it before, you know that thing about when you are ignorant and then somebody just shows you the word. And you have had these pet scriptures, this pet doctrine that you have kept since you were young. You have been using it every time. And somebody brings across the truth of God's word to you and you know it. Wow. Then you say, There you go. Right in your heart, you know, I was wrong. I've been wrong since I was in the womb. There you go. There's somewhere in your mind, you want to prove the person wrong somewhere. You just want to say something. Your ego is coming into the picture. But you have seen it. If you're a Muslim, I understand, you need to first believe. But if you're born again, you already have the faith of God. And so the moment it is shown to you, you'll see it. Because what's in the scriptures, he's the same Spirit that is in you. So you recognize. Amen. Because you know that dialect. So, wow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Same with someone teaching the word. That's the voice of God. And that's how God talks to you. And you say, wow. And your heart goes, wow. That's it. That's it. So he says, he took away that stony heart. And he gave you a heart of flesh. Praise God. Say, I'm not difficult. Imagine your husband or your wife or your children or your friends. You say, you are very difficult. That's not good. That's sclerocardia. Opogou in the Greek is not used for a Christian. Difficult. It's not that I'm being difficult. You know, you also say, I'm not just trying to be difficult. It's not that. You know, I know I can be stubborn. As often as you say that, you know what you're doing? You're walking in darkness. Because you are not stubborn. So, those are the things that dull our responses when we bear another personality away from the world. I am who the world says I am. See, I'm who the world says I am. I am not difficult. I'm not stubborn. Praise God. You've got to see that. Say, why is it so difficult? Just say to yourself, I'm not difficult. I am born of God. Whatever God is passing across to me right now, I yield to it. I yield to it. I yield to it now. I yield to it now. I yield to it now because I know His voice. Amen. So you destroy that thought in your head that's trying to say, but then you say, no. I'm born of God. I'm born of the Word. So you respond. Because when you want to act on the Word, the primary way you act on the Word is by your words. Whatever you want to do, first of all, say it. Put it on your mouth. Say it first. If you get it right in your word, you get it right in your deeds. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word and in deed, do to the glory of God. Word and deed. Say it. Put the words on your mouth. Put the words on your mouth. Put the words on your mouth. Amen. Still out there? So you respond. Same thing when you are praying, and then you have pictures of direction. Say, I yield to this. I yield to this because I'm born of God. It may be contrary to what I was thinking, that I was planning. But you know what? I don't have that stony heart of flesh. I don't have a heart of flesh. Praise God. And I know to respond. That stony heart of flesh has been washed away. I've got a brand new heart. Amen. Still out there? So the Father within prompts us by those impulses where we are suffering. We know to respond to God. We know. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, he says, there's therefore now no condemnation in verse 1 to them who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. What's that? That's the Spirit of the Son in Romans chapter 8 verse 15. So, salvation is that leading. We are saved to Christ. So what happens? As we take decisions in life, you will find pictures and words of Christ coming back at you. Pictures and words of Christ. Because the leading of God is Christ Himself. That's it. Pictures and words of Christ. Hallelujah. So what happens is that the written word is now in our experiences. You're about to start a fight and you can walk away. That's God's leading. Walk away. No, those simple things. Someone says, I don't want to respond. One time I wrote something. I wrote it. Now that I wrote it, Lord said, read it. You know, when I read it the second time, I saw it. That's the point, because I didn't say read it. When you read it, you may understand. So you read it. Before you send a text message, you type it, and then you say, look at it again. You know, more often than not, we hear that. Check what you're about to say. Then you see some anger in this, right? Some bitterness in this. There's some exaggeration in this. That's the voice of the good shepherd. Because that's the life that he laid down for you. And that life speaks into my experiences. It's why I won't take the pen and reply. It's why I won't hit back on someone. Even though he looks like that's what I should do. But I know the voice of the good shepherd. And my heart is a heart of flesh. It's not stony. I know how to respond. Sometimes it's in the place of prayer, you are praying, and then those pictures come in. Pictures of what you want to do in the day, sometimes they are in your thoughts, and then it comes back at you, and you feel, that's all right. You are yet to do it, right? You are yet to do it. You see, that's not right. Hallelujah. That's not right. Why is it that's not right? Because it's not in your observation of Christ. So, in your daily experiences, the written word is now put in your experience by the Spirit. In your daily life. Because you are not stubborn, you know how to respond. So, let's see a few things there. We're going to take it one by one. The first thing that Christ will do to you, how he leads us, his voice, he leads us to learn. What did I say? He leads you to learn. One of the first characteristics of the new birth, hear me, then you act like a child. You act like a child. Remember 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, breakfast in the Greek. And Paul says that about Timothy 2, from a child, 2 Timothy 3:15, you have known the scriptures. So there is this attitude that comes that you act like a child. And what are you about to do? You want to learn. So God's Spirit prompts me to listen, to meditate. Yeah. Listen and meditate. God's Spirit prompts me to sit down. Hallelujah. Remember, I wrote to Emmaus. He met those guys, and then he said, oh, fools of slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered this since they enter into his glory, begin to oppose all prophets, founded all scriptures, things to himself. Luke 24, 25, 27. That's God's Spirit. Tell of God's Spirit. In 44, same thing. Listen. Pay attention. And as people got born again in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So I must know how to listen to God to listen. There are moments that the Spirit of God just wants you to be quiet. You just know, be quiet. Be quiet simply means be quiet. Yeah, listen well. Sometimes, you know, he brings someone your way. And when he does that, he wants you to do less talking. You do more listening. Sometimes you're praying the same thing. You know, you can be praying and your mind is elsewhere. And he says, listen. Your mind is elsewhere. You can observe prayer like a routine. No routine. And he says, listen. Because you have to act like a child. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we find the story of Mary and Martha. And that's a very typical story. This is Jesus in the house of Martha. And as he comes in, Martha assumes that the most important thing to do is to make food. So she goes to the kitchen, makes food. Pam, 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 pam. Or she's making maybe jollof rice. She's making food, she's excited about the food. But Jesus is teaching. And every other person is listening. And she's all about the place. Bam, 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 bam. She's everywhere. And then at the point, she gets offended. Because one wrong step leads to another one. She's already feeling, I'm not the only one. You know, because she's in here in the world. And listen carefully, when you find yourself serving the Lord and getting bitter, right? Or you're serving the Lord and you're getting angry about things, you need to listen to the word more. How can you be serving the Lord and you're angry? It is. That's a contradiction. How can you be serving the Lord in a bitter? And grumbling at your pastor, grumbling at the people, pastor, you are pastoring, grumbling at everybody. Oh, wrong, something wrong in there. Means you are not listening. Because if you are listening, you will be learning. And learning from the Lord what to do. You shouldn't be bitter. That's why in the earlier days, I used to tell people who are in ushering and all that, I say, when you're doing these things, pray in tongues. Those who are in ushering and those who are into technical. Sometimes they get very edgy. Get very edgy because what you're asking is about. They're natural things, so you get very edgy. And sometimes they think their work is demands less spirituality. So a group of guys that they won't even hear God's word. They're just particular about fixing stuff in church, singing in church, and all that. But the point is, that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will always lead you to listen, sit down. And those are very basic things about God's leading. So Martha, all over the place, she said, then she responds. You know, the interesting thing, if you look at that story, she doesn't talk to Mary. You know, very simple. And Mary, can you please come to the kitchen, let's do this together? No. She talks to Jesus. She says, Master, are you leaving me alone to do this? Mary's there, she isn't doing anything. Praise the Lord. You know, that's a bit justified. Yeah, you can justify that. I mean, she's my sibling, younger sibling. She should be assisting me. We should be serving the Lord together. Am I the one that can't hear the word? You know, if you say those kind of things, and it makes a lot of sense. But you know, as you say those things, that check. Come on. That check just goes, bro. They say, I denounce the voice of condemnation. See what you're doing? See what you're doing to yourself? No. You should have said that. Don't you know there's no time you said a wrong word that didn't have a check in your heart? There's no time. There's no time you got angry, blew the fuse, brought down the roof. Before you started bringing down the roof, you had a check. Just ignore it. See, I'm something for today. You have that check. You know why? Because you know the voice of the good shepherd. You know his language. You know where the language of your village is talking. But you know the voice of the good shepherd. Hallelujah. You know his voice. You know what he can't say. Are you still there? So she got that way. Oh, and she's complaining. You know, you can't be led by the Spirit of God and murmur. You can't be led by the Spirit of God and complain. Murmuring is a sin. So, she complains. Then Jesus said, Martha, Martha. The Lord calls your name twice. Two times. Out of the mouth of two witnesses. I tell the Lord, when you have a prophecy coming back again, that means you have not acted on it yet. I'm not saying the words, I say that your star is going to shine. You know, somebody said something 2 days ago. He said there are two constant prophecies every January. He said, one, this is your year to possess what you have never possessed. The wealth of the sinners is coming to you. Number two, there will be a revival in the church. He said every January. You know that. Program prophecy. This year we are glad on eagle's wings. Last year, what else? We flew, I don't know, or we rode on the horse of salvation. Hallelujah. Sometimes all you just have to do is go back and pick the things you have not done. For some people, it should be a year of obedience. Hallelujah. So you know at the times, you know the voice of the good shepherd. He leads us to listen, right? He leads us to sit down. That doesn't mean you want to leave church. And somebody will say, you have to go now, you have to go. There's an appointment you have, and you have a check. Sit down. And you say, no. And you know, you should then listen more. And listen more. Because God's Spirit leads you to listen. Listen. So I'm not stubborn. I'm not difficult. I know how to yield to the Spirit of God. Listen. Sometimes you're teaching someone, then God tells you, listen. And you make an assumption that the person is going to say what you think he's going to say. Just listen. There are times you minister to people and you have this sense of lack of fulfillment. Oftentimes you are in a hurry. You are in a hurry. Let's know that God leads us to listen. He leads us to read. He leads us to think, meditate. He will bring pictures back to you and words. Hallelujah. Have you observed that? There are times you want to do something and supernaturally a phrase in a teaching comes back at you. That's what I'm saying. At that point, you just wait. You're not listening. It comes back at you. You know, there was a day like that. I tried to do something, and then something Kenneth Hagin said to Gloria Copeland, and Kenneth Copeland, in the 70s, was how God led me. And I just said, wow. Now, basically, because what I listened to now came back. And I sat down and thought through it well. Sometimes we're just in the hurry. We think that when we listen to the teaching of the word, it's to amass knowledge and go and teach others. No. Many times, they come back at you in everyday living. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, you have that heart of flesh. Don't forget that. Say, I am not difficult. Some of you find it difficult to even say that. Hey, I'm not difficult. Praise God. It's almost difficult to say. Say, I'm not stubborn. How can I guess I'm a stubborn person? Do you know what it means? Stubbornness in scripture is called idolatry. Witchcraft. When you do things your way, you do things the way you want to do it. The truth is you will achieve your results. But it's not, results is not a proof of divine guidance. Not in any way. So I know the language of the good shepherd when he talks. Because I believe the gospel. I know that voice. And that voice leads me. That voice leads me. It causes me to do the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you are led to listen. You are led to sit down. Sometimes you just get go in that room and sit down. And when you sit down, you are not listening. And that's why it's also good to have, we see that also, to have around you friends who practice the same thing. I remember I had a friend years back. He said to me, I came to him, I said, look, I'm sensing the Lord wants me to do something. He said, ah, he didn't even hear what I said. Ah, no problem. And we'll set this up. We'll set that up. He had, and, you know, he had everything that could make you comfortable. He had an office space. He had the people. He had, you know, the publicity and all that. So I just put my hand around and I said, it's not like that. He said, but we can, you know, yeah, give to the body. This was like 16 years back. Yeah, give to the body. I mean, here that was his. Where is the body? I said, you know what? I want to pray a bit about it. Yeah. He didn't say give to me. He said, no problem. Hallelujah. I met a man I pastored with him some years back, 96 precisely. So I met him at an airport recently. I think it was Nairobi. Well, we was flying to Nigeria and same thing, and we met. So we're talking, and then I reminded him of years ago when he made fun of me that, what is inward witness? Which one is pray about it? You, these faith boys, you have started again. You don't laugh. He said, but I'm glad that you have grown through it. You know, you mocked it, but you can't mock it anymore. Praise the Lord. Never allow life to put you in a hurry. Pray about it. It is better to be slower than God than to be ahead. Are you here? I know we're in a generation that is in a hurry. You are there, okay? Even folks in ministry. They want to do things quickly. They want to get this done. Hey. They want to blow. Hallelujah. God leads you to listen. Hallelujah. To listen. There are pictures to see. There are words to hear as we listen. So he leads you to listen. Goes from there. Notice this and write this. All the leadings of God are about Christ. It's not about you. God's guidance, glorifies Jesus. A proof of God's leading is that he glorifies his Son. I'll take it again. God's guidance always glorifies his Son. It's never for your own gratification. It glorifies his Son. And so he leads us that way. And we know how to respond. We know how to respond. And I was speaking tonight that some of us we sense to pray more. Go ahead and do. Some of you have had since December the leading to pick up a particular teaching and listen to it. We do it. Because no amount of activity can displace obedience. Sometimes you can cover up disobedience in a lot of activities. But it doesn't change anything. Listen to God's Spirit. Amen. Say, I don't have a difficult heart. I don't have a stubborn heart. I don't argue against God's counsel. I don't plan, then pray. Say, I pray as I plan. Or I pray before I plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.